Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. I want to say hello today, and it is good to be here. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we want to take just a moment to let you know about our services and times, location. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Sunday school for all ages, from the little ones up through college classes, and then right on up through the adults. And so that's Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and then every second and fourth Sunday night at 6 p.m. And so we wanted to let you know about that. We're located just above the Willow Creek Golf Course on Baird's Creek Road, and that is off of Highway 105 South. So you can look at our church website, mountlebanonbc.org, and we have all kinds of information on there. So we wanted to let you know about that. We want to welcome all of our listeners today. We appreciate those right here on AM 1450 WATA, and also Saturday mornings on WZAP 690 AM, and also on Saturday, our listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota, and Brother Lamar Whittemore, the pastor of the church. Now, 89.1 FM is a ministry of Brother Lamar's, the church where he pastors, and the name of the church just slipped my mind, so I apologize for that. But Brother Lamar is going to be in town this month, and he's going to be with us Sunday morning, April the 17th. So we're looking forward to that, and I know he'll hear this and might give me a hard time for forgetting the name of his church. So, brother, you'll forgive me for that, I hope. And but we appreciate him. We appreciate all the radio stations and the opportunity that we have. Now, we've been in a series on the subject of prayer, Heroes of Prayer. And 1 week, we'll take a Bible character. Last week we did Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. And then another week we'll take an example of a Christian person, usually from history. Today we're going to look at missionary James Stewart in just a few moments. So that's what we've been doing for several weeks now. I want to take just a moment. You know, we may have new listeners from time to time, and they may just tune in and wonder what we're all about. But Blessings of Liberty, what we've been doing, Heroes of Prayer. Actually, the series I did before this on the subject, What I Can Do for My Country, we started off that series talking about prayer and what the Bible talks about prayer. And the Bible says the first thing, if we're going to do something for our country, first thing we need to do is pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And during that series, now I didn't intend to spend the time on prayer that I did, but I spent a lot of time talking about prayer, and we went through what it means, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. But the Lord used that to impress upon my heart how important that was, and I believe many times we just pass over prayer, or we use prayer as a last resort. But as I study the Bible, and the more I look into it, prayer ought to be our first resort. It's the first thing we ought to do, not the last thing we ought to do. So we come back after that series and begun another series on the subject, Heroes of Prayer. And I really believe from the bottom of my heart that the only hope for our nation is a real spiritual movement, a revival that would change our hearts, our minds back towards the God of the Bible and the things of the Lord. We're just fooling ourselves if we think we're going to make America great again without God. Trump is not going to do it. Hillary's not going to do it. Cruz cannot do it. Bernie Sanders cannot do it. It's jokeable. It's laughable to think that we can just somehow get our country to where it needs to be without turning to the Lord, without the help of the Lord. I was reading this week out of Isaiah chapter number 1, and just in my daily Bible reading, and in Isaiah chapter number 1, we see over there that Isaiah talks about the condition of the nation of Israel. And just a few passages, just a few sentences from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, Isaiah said about the nation of Israel, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. I see this in America today, a nation that has rebelled, a government that has rebelled, leaders that have rebelled against the Lord once upon a time. The Ten Commandments, Bible reading, prayer, these were good things. They were encouraged. Now it'll get you in a lawsuit. The Lord said, I've nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. Verse 4, the Lord said, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. And that's where we are in America today. We have forsaken the Lord. Verse 5 said, why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. And we see that today, a revolt against the Lord, a revolt against the Bible, a revolt against biblical morality. What once upon a time was looked upon as good, now is looked upon as bad by some, and vice versa. The Bible said, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. That's where we are spiritually in our country today. Now, I'm not saying it is too late, but I am saying this, without the help of the Lord, I believe it's too late. So we're taking time to deal with prayer and setting forth these examples, hoping that it'll be an encouragement to you, hoping that it'll be a blessing to your heart, and praying that the Lord would touch people's hearts and raise up prayer warriors and intercessors just as he has done in the past. So these examples that were taken from the Bible and from history, they're meant to encourage us in a good thing. And who in their right mind would be against praying for our nation, praying for our leaders, praying for our community, our state, our schools, our children, our families, our neighbors, our friends, our churches, right on down the line. So I hope the Lord will speak to our hearts and help us and encourage us in a good matter. Now, James Stewart, I have talked about him before in different ways here in the radio broadcast. He's one of my favorite authors. He is one of my favorite missionaries to read after, to study after. He was born in Scotland. Of course, he was a missionary. The Lord called him into the ministry from a very young man. He married a lady named Ruth. I started to say Ruth Stewart, but of course she took his name. But for many years, they made their home not too far from here in Asheville, North Carolina. They had a ministry called Revival Literature that still exists today. And I believe it's over. It is run by Mr. Stewart's son-in-law and daughter even today. But Mr. Stewart's early missionary work was mainly in the country of Europe. And he actually traveled all over Europe, but especially early on in what we call the Eastern Bloc countries, which after World War II, most of them became communist countries, became dominated by Russia. Mr. Stewart also, and I didn't realize this until a few years ago, there was actually a time during that time period where there was a revival in Russia. There were good established churches in Russia. And so we call those sometimes the Eastern Bloc countries, Bolivia and Hungary and Poland and Russia and that area of the countries where we're talking about. He was in Europe and doing evangelistic work before World War II. And it's very interesting to read his life story, how that they literally almost were running ahead of the Nazis to get out of the country at their, or out of Europe back to England, back to Scotland before the start of World War II, and then after World War II, how they went back into Europe and would go into places that had been devastated by the war and still find the churches, still find the believers there. It's very encouraging as far as the importance of missionary work is concerned. Brother Stewart has written several books. Of course, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But one of the first book, or the first book I ever read by him, I was a very young preacher and was teaching Sunday school in our church in England. And I come across a book, the pastor there, Pastor Isle, gave me a book called Heaven's Throne Gift about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I read that. And boy, that just, that was what I needed at that time early on in my ministry. And then he wrote a book on evangelism. We use his book as a textbook at Victory Bible Institute. And I teach that course every 3 years when it rolls around. But Mr. Stewart's ministry, if you read about it, was attended by several revivals, thousands of people converted to the Lord, churches started, believers established, Bible society started, a lot of good fruit. If we were to look at the ministry of James Stewart, but what we're going to focus on today is his prayer life. And I have a biography written by his wife, Miss Ruth Stewart, and it's a great little book. But in that book, there's a chapter on James Stewart. It's just called Man of Prayer. And she talks in that chapter about James Stewart's prayer life. And so I went back and I read that chapter again and part of the next chapter on faith. And I've read the book before, but I'd never just focused upon the prayer life. And I'm getting a blessing out of studying about the prayer lives of these different saints of God that we've been talking about. But as I went back through that chapter, and it wasn't outlined like this, but I just picked out some things that she told about his prayer life, and I sort of come up with a little outline that if I was going to look at his prayer life and, you know, what can I get out of this? What can I take away from his prayer life? And I divided it up like this. There's short prayers. There is strategic prayers. There's the place of worship in prayer that I learned something from his prayer life. And then there's faith increasing prayers. And then there's evangelistic prayers that she talked about. All of these that I'm going to look at today, or we're going to look at today, would fit under Paul's teaching and instructing Timothy on prayer, where he said, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. And so we think about James Stewart and his prayer life. And first of all, it talked about in the book what I called short prayers. Mr. Stewart called them telegram prayers. Now, that was back when they used to send telegrams. And a lot of people may not even know anything about that today. But a telegram is sort of like our texting, just a little short message. And a telegram prayer is like that. Mr. Stewart was known for these short prayers, or what he called telegram prayers. And I've prayed many telegram prayers, and so have you, probably. Just that time in your life when you just say, "Help me, Lord." His wife said that was a common prayer to hear him pray, was just, "Help me, Lord." That's a good prayer. That's a prayer that the Lord hears. He would say, "Help me, Lord." And then something would come into his life and he would say, "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord." And then he would come, he would meet somebody and they would express a need in their life, or, "Brother Stewart, will you help me pray about this?" And he would hear about some situation and he would say, "Bless him, Lord," or "Bless them, Lord." When we talk about prayer, I think a lot of times we think, "Oh, well, the preacher, he's going to talk about prayer, and he's going to talk about praying a long time." Or maybe somebody in church might be called upon to pray, and you say, "Boy, they sure do pray a long prayer," or something like that. But in the Bible, not only are long prayers worth something, but we find that there's power in short prayers, and there is a precedence for short prayers. You not only find long prayers, medium prayers, but in the Bible you could find several places where there are short prayers. And I think about, for example, Nehemiah. God laid on Nehemiah's heart to go back. Now, his family had been carried away captive down into Babylon, and the decree had been made by the king that the captives could go back, and they'd already started going back. Ezra had already gone back and started building on the temple. And in Nehemiah chapter number 1, Nehemiah gets news that the walls were still broken down. And so things were not coming along as they should have been. And it burdened Nehemiah's heart for his home, for Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer, which means that he worked for the government. He had a charge to what he was, you know, he's going to taste the food before the king does to make sure that it's not poisoned. So he had a pretty important job. You wouldn't want just anybody for that, but you'd want somebody that was very, very trustworthy. And that's what Nehemiah was. Well, the king discerned that Nehemiah had something on his heart. And finally, one day, the king asked him what he requested. And it said in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, it said, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Verse 5 says, "And I said unto the king." So in two sentences there, we find that Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven. And then in the next sentence, "And I said unto the king." Now, that had to be a pretty short prayer. What do you think he prayed? "Lord, help me. Lord, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, but Lord, help me to express it the way you'd have me to." It had to be a very short prayer. But the Lord answered his prayer. The Lord sent Nehemiah back. Nehemiah built the walls. Nehemiah had a great ministry. He was not a prophet. He was not a preacher. He was not a priest. He was just somebody that wanted to do something for God. Now that blesses my heart. And so Nehemiah prayed a short prayer. Jesus Christ himself prayed several short prayers, even from the cross. Luke chapter 23, verse number 34. "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's a short prayer. Verse number 46. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." That's a short prayer. Now, a short prayer that is also an effective prayer is an indication of a life lived in the presence of God. Somebody that can just pray a real short prayer, that lets me know that they've been talking with God at other times, not just every once in a while for a sentence or two. But James Stewart lived his life that way. He tried to live in the presence of God. Nehemiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, on and on we could go giving examples. A short, effective prayer is evidence of a life lived in the presence of God. Those who knew Mr. Stewart said that he would be talking to you, talking to an individual, and then in the same conversation, he'd talk to the Lord, just like the Lord was right there in the room. And so he would say a little prayer. His wife said that, and how they wrote books and letters and things in those days, a lot of times someone would take dictation, and they would take shorthand, or they would set it a typewriter. And Mr. Stewart would do that. His wife would sit at the typewriter, and he would dictate to her. He would tell her what to type. And he would be talking to her and giving her the words to say. And all of a sudden, she said that he would just stop. And he'd say, "Father, I don't know how to say it. Give me the right words." And he'd go right back to dictating to her. And he would all of a sudden have the right words. So short prayers. Short prayers are effective prayers if they are an outcome of our larger prayer life. And so he was known for short prayers. But then I've got to go on. I find also strategic praying. He often prayed. His wife wrote in the book, said he often prayed with the map before him, especially during the early years when he carried the continent of Europe on his heart for evangelism continually. And when I think about praying like that, can you imagine a missionary in a foreign country? And those days, communication is not like it is. They prayed about where to go, when to go, where to stop, who to talk to. They were closer to how Paul did his ministry, and he was led by the Lord. I hope all of our missionaries will be led by the Lord, but they didn't have a lot of information to go off of. They had to truly trust in the leadership of the Lord. And so many times, and Miss Stewart talked about this, how that in their room, wherever they were staying or something like that, during the middle of the day, and he would get in there and he would pray, and he would pray with the map before him. That's what I would call Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the whole armor of God, praying, going to battle praying. And so he would pray over the map, and he would pray about the different countries that they would go into. And we would just say right there, and just take a moment to say this about our own personal lives, our prayer lives. If we don't like how things are going in Washington or Raleigh or Nashville or wherever the case might be, wherever you're listening from, Richmond or even in South Dakota, Pierre, South Dakota, if you don't like how things are going in the Capitol, well, pray. Pray. Sure, go ahead, write your letter, call your senator, and sign your petition and go to your rallies and all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. We should let our voices be known, but by all means, don't make prayer a last resort. Make it a first resort. Make it a priority. If we pray in faith, my, what power there is there. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's why I say that strategic praying that we were talking about there, that's Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God praying. And so strategically, he prayed. I remember several years ago before we went to the state of Idaho, and some of you may know and some of you may not, but we were missionaries, and we went out there, and I took a little church that had been started by another missionary, and they needed missionary pastors to come and take these churches that they had been starting. And so for several years we did that, and I remember in preparing to go out there, you know, we didn't know anybody, hardly, just the missionary, but we didn't, you know, we didn't know anything much about where we were going. At that point, you know, there was a time where I took a survey trip, and one of the things I did while I was out there, I got some local newspapers and brought them home, and I remember reading through the stories and the different little towns. These are all little towns that we were looking about going to, reading about the people. Reading even the obituaries and the names, you know, family names in different towns and things like that, and just looking over that and praying over that. And that was one of the things the Lord used to lay on my heart, where we eventually ended up going and pastoring the church I was talking about. So strategic praying. We find example after example of this in the Bible, and we find that in Mr. Stewart's life as well. Another area of Mr. Stewart's life that I noticed was that his praying was not just business praying and not just asking, just to be asking. You know, a lot of times we do that when we pray. We're just asking the Lord for things. But something that was very important in his life and his wife, as they started out as young missionaries, was that they took time to worship the Lord. And just to take time every day just to thank the Lord. You know, Paul told Timothy, he talked about giving of thanks. And they took time and they would sing and they would pray together. They would read their Bible together. It was very important for them in their private lives. It was very important for them in their family life. It was very important for them in their public life. If they were traveling and Mr. Stewart was not preaching somewhere, they would always find somewhere that they could worship and meet together with God's people. That was a very, very important part of their ministry. And then I noticed also this. There was times where he had faith-increasing prayers. Now, we read about and study about these people. James Stewart or George Whitfield or, you know, some that we've not even come to yet, but I plan on John Wesley and David Brainerd, and there's a lot of them that I would like to get to. we have the opportunity to do that in the future, but they needed their faith increased as well. And there would be times when Mr. Stewart would pray about things, and he would just come to his wife and he'd say, "I need you to come and help me pray about this. I just don't have the faith to claim this yet." And so she would go, and he would enlist other Christians to help him pray about things. And as he would pray and talk to the Lord about whatever it was that he was praying about, maybe it was a place to go, maybe it was a need. I'll just read a little bit from the book here. Miss Stewart said, "But there were special seasons when James felt the Lord would have us take on a large project on the mission field, which required a sum of money far exceeding his own faith at the time. He had to pray for faith. He had to wrestle before the Lord and pray himself into faith. At times he began praying alone and then would come to me with, 'Come help me pray. I can claim from the Lord thus and so, but I have not yet faith to claim the full amount needed.' At such times, I would witness those wrestlings before the Lord, which were the secret of his life of faith. He would cry, 'You are God. You can do anything. You can do this. You want to do this for your glory. Now give me the faith to claim it from your hand.' And he did. And so there were times where he just prayed and had his faith increased. And you might remember over there in Luke chapter number 17, where the disciples did the same thing. You find over there the phrase in the Bible, the disciples said, 'Lord, increase our faith.'" And I've had that in my life as well, where there's been times I've just had to say, "Lord, you're just going to have to give me more faith that I could believe." And then one last thing we'll mention today, as time is quickly getting gone. We have looked at James Stewart's prayer life. And we have looked at the strategic praying, or the short prayers, the strategic prayers, his worship, his faith increasing prayers. But last of all, he prayed evangelistic prayers. And this is prayers for souls to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of Christ. Now, this is from a letter that was written to Miss Stewart, who had worked with the Stewarts after World War II, and he wrote, his name was Mr. Fife, and he wrote to her and he said, "James's prayer life impressed me tremendously. To be in a prayer time with him was an experience I shall never forget. When he prayed for people, it was as though they had become flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones, as though he had birthed them and was thus brokenhearted because they had wandered far from home. Someone said to me once, 'I don't mind being in prayer with James, but I sure wish he did not groan and moan so much for people.' I asked her what she did when her child was sick, nigh unto death, and she replied that she wept, pleaded, and cried to God for the child's recovery. You will know my answer to this, dear lady. James was so committed to the Lord Jesus that as he prayed through him, he wept, pleaded, and groaned for the sons of men in a way seldom seen in men. I believe this did something for me that would take all eternity to relate." And so we appreciate the lessons learned from the prayer life of James Stewart. I see our time is quickly come and gone today. We have just a few seconds left, but we want to say that we appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and you can find out all the information you need to. We have sermons. We have radio broadcast archived on our church website, which is mountlebanonbc.org. That is mtlebanonbc.org. And so we appreciate you listening. I hope you listen in every week at this same time. We appreciate the radio stations that we are allowed to be upon, and we hope and pray God will continue to bless them. So thank you for listening. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer. Thank you.